Welcome, everybody. This is the U.S. Gray Sports Podcast. I'm Doug Berry, along with my always very good friend, Father Richard Heilman. And tonight, we are thrilled. We have a very, very special guest, His Eminence Cardinal Raymond Burke. Thank you so much for being with us, Your Eminence.
I'm glad to be with you. Thank you, Doug.
We're thrilled to have you, Your Eminence, and thank you so much for being here. And please, if you would, can you open us up with a prayer?
Yes, of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. Saint Juan Diego, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you very much, Your Eminence, for getting us started with that. And as always, I want to thank everybody out there who supports the U.S. Grace Force podcast. Without your prayers, without your encouragement, we just can't do this. And so thank you so much for everything that you're doing. And for those of you who support us through the Patreon program, that also is a tremendous way to help us continue to get messages like this out. And so we thank you for that. If anybody's interested in supporting us through that Patreon program, please click the link in the description below and know that you're in our prayers. All of you are. And we thank all of you so much for everything that you do to help us get out messages, especially messages as powerful as this one here. And again, Your Eminence, thank you so much for being with us. This is a great honor for us. And Father Heilman, I know you and the Cardinal here go back many years.
Yeah, well, I've been a great supporter, but I've always considered you my model, and I try. There's so much charity and so much peace, which I think is a big word we're going to talk about tonight. Mm-hmm. But just a little introduction to His Eminence, native of Wisconsin, Richland Center, isn't that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah, I love driving through Richland Center. I talk about peace. You know, it's a beautiful. Yes. Countryside, and I usually try to take that way on the way to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the cross. But yeah, so a native of Wisconsin, and you were ordained a priest in 1975 by Pope Paul VI, and you were ordained a bishop in 1995 by Pope John Paul II, and Bishop Burke at the time, shepherd of the Diocese of La Crosse, Wisconsin, and he founded the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I just loved watching that whole thing transpire. I remember back when you were first got the land and all that, and then to see it, everybody, please. And Cardinal, I plan to go there many, many times during this 9 months that we're about to pray together. Anyway, yeah. So in 2003, he was appointed Archbishop of St. Louis, and he held that post till 2008. And then as a widely respected for his expertise in canon law, Pope Benedict XVI appointed him then Archbishop Burke in 2008 as prefect of the Apostolic Signatura, head of the church's highest court. The next year, Benedict appointed him to the congregation, it's now called the Dicastery for Bishops, which is responsible for giving recommendations to the Pope on episcopal candidates. The year after that, in 2010, Benedict elevated then 62-year-old to the rank of cardinal. So he continues to be, you know, your teachings are so rich, so beautiful, and your love for the Eucharist, your love for the Sacred Heart of Jesus, your love for Immaculate Heart of Mary, this and especially Our Lady of Guadalupe, and sanctity for human life, everything that you're known for. So I know I wanted everybody to get that introduction, but I think everybody does know you, Cardinal. And again, thank you so much for being here. I saw that you had announced a few days ago at this recording that you want to lead the country, the world, in a 9-month novena that concludes on the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, December 12th of this year. So 9 months exactly would mean we're going to start on March 12th. That's correct, right?
Yes, that's great.
Yeah, and I can't tell you how enthused I was about that. I'm not just saying this because you're here and present, but if I were to pick any general to lead us in the spiritual battle and this the spiritual strength training period, it would be you and all the people in the world. And I know that a lot of people are watching and listening, and they're nodding their head. I'm so grateful for your call to the priesthood, but everything that you've done for the church and are doing. So, Cardinal, thank you so much. I reached out to your secretary, and I just said, please understand that I'm going to throw everything I can to try to get the word out that everybody should join this. And including the United States Grace Force. And but Cardinal, if you would, could you kind of help us understand what was the inspiration at this moment in history for you to decide to do this, what I call most necessary thing?
Well, I saw, and I think every devout Christian sees, that the powers of darkness and sin are ever more enveloping our world. I think, for instance, of the terrible things that are going on in our own country with regard to the people believing that they can change their own sexual identity, and then, of course, the horror of abortion, and also, it's not so well known, but the widespread practice of euthanasia, yes. Attacks also on the freedom of religion. And so, and we see also in the church that there, in these last years, the confusion and the error grows ever greater. And I myself suffer temptations to discouragement. And I have many communications from faithful Catholics and also non-Catholics, but people of goodwill, good Christians, who are having their hope tested. They're having their trust in God's promise and our Lord's promise to us that He will remain with us always in the church until the last day. And so I thought to myself about the situation of the church in the world in 1531, which was not so different than our own time. The wars in the world, confusion and error, attacks on human life. And so in that situation, our Lord sent our Blessed Mother to us, whom He had given to us as our mother as He was dying on the cross. And she appeared to St. Juan Diego, this humble Native American who had received the gift of faith and baptism, was a devout Catholic. And through him, especially the miraculous imprint of her image on his tilma, invited pilgrims to come to her so that she could lead them to Christ. And so I said to myself, what we need now more than anything is to pray fervently, and with the most powerful intercessor we have, the Mother of God, the Virgin Mother of God, our own mother in the church, and to ask her good counsel and especially her intercession, that many souls would be converted to Christ, that we ourselves in our own lives would be more fully converted to Him in the circumstances of our homes, and that in the whole of society, especially in America, that many would be converted to Christ, even as after her apparitions at Tepeyac in 1531, millions, literally millions, were converted to the faith, and a whole Christian culture developed, which is most powerful and beautiful. And so we can't give up hope. We must trust our Lord, and it's our Blessed Mother who's going to take us to Him, and with our prayers and our pleading that He come to our aid. At the time in 1531, a bishop said, unless the hand of God Himself intervene, all will be lost. I think we have the sense too that what can we do in this, the terrible things that we see going on, and what we can do is to invoke our Lord's help, to call upon His help, through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. And so that's really the simple intent. It's going to be a very intense period of prayer for the world and especially our own nation. This is a critical time for us too. We're in our own country. We're in a time where we're going to elect a new president, a new leader. We know that our country is in desperate need of to recover its identity. And then in the whole world, we have this terrible war in the Ukraine and in the Holy Land. This is our first and best way to address it is through prayer.
Real quick, Doug, I just want to make sure we do this right near the beginning. So we send people to it's novena.cardinalburke.com. And the prayer campaign, if you will, is called Return to Our Lady.
Yes, Return to Our Lady. And that's correct. Yes.
And so please, everyone, please sign up. And it just means you put your name in and your email, and then you're going to give teachings throughout. We'll get into the particulars in a moment. But Doug, you were going to say, I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, and on that point, the link will be in the description below as normal for anybody out there. Just click that link and it'll take you out there. And you have a powerful video message that I watched several times. And
I watched it several times.
Yeah, very well done and really makes the key point, a lot of what you just said. It's a short message, so people can go out there, they can find it, they can use that to share that with other people and give other people some idea of what's going on here. And, you know, as you were describing all of this, and in particular, I think something that stands out to me is you mentioned war, political issues. I was looking through the news earlier today and I found 5 or 6 headlines, and I looked for probably 20 minutes, 5 or 6 headlines that speak of, you know, a NATO ambassador threatening that there'll be retaliation against Russia if they do this. And then, of course, someone responds saying they'll do this. And it's the constant threat, this of escalation. Yes. And I know there are Marian, church-approved Marian prophecies of things to come. However, the hope issue, you spoke of that. And I just have to say that is something I struggle with too. I mean, I've been doing this work for 34 years, evangelizing, traveling, speaking. In fact, I remember doing the one-man drama of the Passion at a men's conference in Wisconsin, and you were the bishop sitting in the crowd. Yes. And you said some very kind, encouraging words to me, which has always stuck with me. But I think that aspect of hope, if you could speak just a bit more, there are so many of us out there that they feel as if we're stuck in a position where I can't do anything with the war. I can't do anything, you know, with regards to negotiations and so forth.
Certainly.
In my home, though, right here, or before the Blessed Sacrament, or with that rosary in my hand, what's the disposition that you hope and you would encourage people to have to try to find that hope mixed with we see the signs of the times and the dangerous threats that are out there? What do you encourage us to look at with regards to the whole big picture of where each of us sits in our own little foxhole trying to fight this battle?
Exactly. There is something we can do because we are alive in Christ. Christ has come. He has freed us from sin and death. We've come alive to him through the sacrament of baptism. And he has given us his mother, and she is... her great counsel to us is the counsel she gave to the wine stewards at Cana, who found themselves in a desperate situation. She takes them to her son and says, without any hesitation or doubt about what would happen, do whatever he tells you. And so we want to return to Christ. We want to seek our direction in him. And you're exactly right. I can't solve the situation of the war in the Ukraine. I can't solve the situation of the war in the Holy Land, but I can address my own personal situation, live as intensely in Christ as possible. And that means, and in my home and in my neighborhood, try to be the best possible Christian. And that is transformative. And it also is a source of grace for many. I think, for instance, if so many people are suffering in various ways, and I always ask them when they let me know about their sufferings and ask me to pray, I always ask them to offer some of your sufferings for the church in our time, offer some of your sufferings for those who are in need of conversion. And we know that that's that is powerful, and that that is my whole point is, I can do something, you can do something, we all can do something, each one of us one at a time, but all together we become then a great force, cooperators in the truth, as St. John says in his third epistles, cooperators of Christ, co-workers with Christ in the truth, so that the truth and love of Christ more and more reign in our world. And so this is the point. What does Christ say to us? Follow me, take up your cross and follow me. And that's what, when the first way we do that is by praying, by putting uniting our hearts with the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which was always perfectly united to the heart of Christ, and then carrying with him the cross. Our Lord never told us that that our life as Christians was going to be easy, comfortable, or anything of that nature. He told us it was going to be a struggle against the forces of evil, and that struggle is in fact the source of our hope and our joy. If we remain faithful in following Christ and stay close to him, then he brings us peace and joy, even in the most difficult circumstances. Mm-hmm. And that I think too, so many people have lost their peace. They've lost their serenity. Yeah. And we have to draw close to Christ, and he will give us that serenity in the midst of all the difficulties we face. He'll give us the serenity to stay on course, that course which leads always to him and to his victory. And he has won the victory already. I always say the final chapter of the story is already written. It's the victory of Christ over sin and death. It's his glorious return at the end of time. And it's for us to stay with him on the path to that victory, and not to lose our way, not to wander away from him, not to abandon him in his church, not to to give up our trust in his promises to us.
Mm-hmm. Cardinal, when you did the video and some of the writing so far, that's really encouraging people to be a part of it. You marked that it's 500 years. The video is amazing, and you'll say that, you know, sicknesses in the world and war is breaking out, and you're thinking you're talking about the time right now, and then the year was 1531 is what comes. And but 500 years ago, I mean, Martin Luther, you know, the rebellion that went on there that threw the church into chaos in 1517. But interestingly enough, 40 years after Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared was the Battle of Lepanto. And right. And you point to that as well. I actually use that name to start. I got men together, and it was clicking with them spiritually, where we would get together on First Fridays, and we would expose the Blessed Sacrament, but we, you know, darken the church, we put out extra candles, we had a men's scola, and what are we doing? We're helping to predispose those men to really be filled with awe and wonder before the presence of God in the exposed Holy Eucharist. And then they prayed the rosary during that time, and then there were priests available for confession. And then we had a inspirational teaching, generally by a priest that would do that, and it worked. And I said, this has got to spread. And then I approached you, and I told you how it's working, and that, and you agreed to be the spiritual head of what we call the Holy League, which was the name that Pope Pius V had given to those who stood by. And this is a point I want to get to too, Cardinal, is when you read the story of the Battle of Lepanto and the Holy League, the Ottoman Turks advanced. Why? Because we were weak.
Yes.
Okay. Christianity was weakened during that time, and they felt this was their time to deal the last blow. And I feel like what you're doing, Cardinal, right now is akin to Pius V at that time. He asked everybody to band together, unite in prayer, particularly the rosary. And yes. And I know, Cardinal, you're inspired by that story, the Battle of Lepanto, which, you know, again, followed right after Our Lady appeared in Guadalupe. But Cardinal,
one little interesting thing I would add is in the cabin of the captain, Andrea Doria, there was an image of Our Lady of Guadalupe during the Battle of Lepanto. So there's a very strong connection between the two of them. And that, as we all know, that battle seemed hopeless. The Christians were outnumbered. But she,
and that's how we feel, don't we, right now, Cardinal? I mean, there's there's this angst and this hopelessness, and we're you are taking that beautiful model that wait, we can unite and the remnant forces united together, and he called on everybody to call out to Our Lady and pray the Rosary, which is why and here's the thing I'd like you to comment on. I wonder, and I'd like your opinion on this, but look at when the Holy Land was bombed. What date? October 7th of 2023.
Yes, that struck me very powerfully.
It struck me too. But you can guess what God's up to there. For me, it's like God's saying, look at that date and what happened. You know, he's trying to get our attention to it. And I believe the Holy Land was bombed. I'd like to get your opinion on this, but and Ukraine and this and that and the other thing, because we are weak, and what do you is do you think there's a connection there between October 7th and you're making the connections too with the Holy League? Can you comment on that?
There's so much corruption in the world, and we know that in these wars that are going on, the involvement of corruption in terms mammon, the financial corruption, and other forms of the attack on the nature of man himself, and so this makes us weak, and so the our Lord uses these evils to turn us, to wake us up, and to turn us to him and to reform our lives, to undertake that difficult task of purification and fortification in our own lives that lead us to him. And yes, I fully agree with you. And I believe it's so important for us to reflect also too, and when Our Lady appeared, the through a corruption in the Aztec religion, they were there was a terrible human sacrifice. Thousands of people were being taken up on the top of a pyramid, had their sternum opened up with a steel blade and their heart torn out, living in the it was just a bloody terrible horror. And there was also this tension, an armed tension between the Spanish explorers and settlers and the Native Americans. And Our Lady came, and there too, it's a question of prayer, bringing us to Christ. She said, come on pilgrimage. And you mentioned before, and I'd like to underline that. I really encourage all those who are taking part in this 9-month novena to make pilgrimage. Come to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the cross, or to another holy place. Make pilgrimage, go there, and open your hearts to our Lord, invoking his help.
Your Eminence, what is the significance of the pilgrimage aspect for us? Why is that sort of a journey so important, combined with prayer and all the other pieces for spiritual growth and all?
Pilgrimage is perhaps the oldest form of devotion. It's found in the Old Testament. And basically, it's a simple thing. One leaves the ordinary circumstances of life, of his daily life, and it could be a long pilgrimage, like, for instance, the pilgrimage to Santiago de Compostela, or it can be just a pilgrimage of a day or a few days. You go to a holy place, and in the holy place, our Lord uncovers for you the extraordinary nature of your life. He helps you to understand that your ordinary life is in fact extraordinary because he's with you. He's living in you. He's counting on you to make a Christian home, to be a Christian man, a Christian woman. And so people receive this grace. We see it all the time at the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe and La Cruz. People come on pilgrimage and they don't even expect it. And they they say it immediately, they have a sense of peace. They have a sense of the presence of God in their lives. They're drawn to make a good confession. They're drawn to worship. And Father Heilman made this point before too. What can be more powerful than to be in the presence of the most blessed sacrament, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, his real presence in our midst. And their faith is confirmed, and they receive a new enthusiasm and a new energy to lead the Christian life. And that's the whole nature of pilgrimage. I remember when I founded the Shrine of the Cross, people said, oh, this is medieval, this is out of touch and so forth. Not at all. Those who make pilgrimage are the testimony of the grace that's given to us when we make this. It's a simple gesture. It can be more or less demanding on us to make a pilgrimage. But in any case, our Lord gives us great graces when we show our love for him in this way.
I'd just like to reiterate, Your Eminence, of how the anointing that happens. This is going to sound like an exaggeration, but this is my experience. I think virtually everyone that goes to the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe and the Cross has a story to tell afterwards. That, you know, they were impacted so greatly. And a lot of times it took them by surprise. They just didn't expect that. And it's just story after story after story. There's truly an anointing there. I'm planning on getting up there as much as I can, especially now between March 12th and December 12th.
Well, that will bring many graces.
Yeah. And Cardinal, could you tell us so we're going to pray together for 9 months. And I know the people will see that on the website when they go to, Doug, you can put it up.
Novena.cardinalburke.
No, yeah, that's it. Novena.cardinalburke.com. Yes.
And there will be an official prayer too. It should be, maybe it's up already today, but there will be a prayer, a suggested prayer. Of course, people will pray in their own words too, but there is an official prayer for the novena to be prayed every day during the 9 months.
Nice, beautiful. And of course, the rosary.
During these instructions that will come each month, I'll be dwelling on these various elements.
Oh, beautiful.
Of prayer. The apparitions of Our Lady and what she taught to St. Juan Diego, and then how we live that, the praying of the rosary, Eucharistic adoration, and devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and Immaculate Heart of Mary, and also devotion to St. Joseph as the true spouse of Our Blessed Mother and the Virginal Father of Jesus, and all these ways to be fortified so that we can be really real soldiers of Christ.
If I can pick up on what you just said, be fortified. We just got done talking about how Christiana was weak in 1571. And of course it's weak as we speak today, but I always, and all the listeners will know that I'm going to say this, cause I think I say it at every show, but we maintain the peace through our strength. Weakness only invites aggression, right? Peace through strength. And that's actually the motto. Weakness. What's that?
Peace doesn't come from weakness. Peace comes when we're strong.
Right. And you're planning on giving regular spiritual direction during these 9 months. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. So we're going to get strong. We're going to pray and we're going to get strong. We'll get strong too by drawing close to the mantle of Mary. And
of course.
Because she's a mediatrix of grace, and by getting close to her, we get close to God through her. This is going to be incredible. But everybody, this is amazing. It's novena.cardinalburke.com. And everybody, please, please, it's just automatic. Please, please be a part of this because we are going to get strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and put on the full armor of God so we can stand against the tactics of the devil. I think that's Ephesians 6:10-12, St. Paul. But anyways, Cardinal, how did we get here? You know, why are we weak right now? And maybe by being honest about that, we can reverse that, you know, kind of.
Well, I think it's simply a fact that for several decades now, the catechesis, our teaching of the faith has been weak. We haven't taught the truths of the faith. There's this kind of idea that it's a kind of a psychologism, make everybody feel good. Instead of our Christian life is constantly calling us to conversion. Then the sacred liturgy, when the devil wants to accomplish his work, he goes after the most sacred things and attacks them. And so we had this terrible period in the church after the Second Vatican Council with all these experiments and awful things going on in church. And it happens even today, sadly, and we're all too aware of it. The Holy Liturgy is Christ himself coming into our midst and acting on our behalf. We can have no attitude other than awe, be on our knees, be praying, lifting our hearts and minds to him, not carrying on. And it's not a show the priest is putting on. It's not social time. It's Christ himself coming, interacting with us, is making sacramentally new his sacrifice on Calvary. And that too, we saw this is that has weakened us terribly. And then a weakening of the moral teaching. When we worship in spirit and truth, we realize how holy our lives must be, and we recognize the things in our lives that are not holy, and we pray for God's grace and work to become holy, to overcome these sins. And today, people excuse all kinds of sins. I mean, saying, well, God is all merciful. Of course, God is all merciful to those who turn to him with a humble and contrite heart, but God is also all just. And you just can't rebel against God and commit all kinds of sins and think, oh, that's all right, he'll forgive me. What kind of an attitude is that? But that unfortunately has crept into the church. And so we have to once again teach the truths of the moral truths and teach them clearly. And there are a lot of wonderful things happening in that regard. We have a lot of excellent both priests and lay faithful who are bringing the Catholic teaching to us, but we have to get that out to more people. Because I find, and many times talking with people, that they simply don't know. It's not their fault, but they don't know what the church teaches. And they're surprised to know, for instance, that certain things are very wrong. I think recently it's come out in the news about all of these frozen embryos, these human beings, this horrible situation, all created out of our own selfishness and the desire to create human life according to our own desire instead of cooperating with God. And now the suffering and the seemingly impossible situation that we face. And so we have to get back on track. But I think that's how we, as far as I'm concerned, that's how we got there. It was going on for a long time. And people were not taking seriously the faith and morals, and there was this loss of the sense of the sacred as we know it most powerfully in the Holy Liturgy, in the sacred liturgy.
Wholeheartedly agree.
You know, Your Eminence, you're talking about, I mean, you mentioned a little bit ago previously about the importance of pilgrimage, and then when you mentioned things such as selfishness and, you know, Father Heilman likes to use the term a lot of, you know, people just want to go golfing and shopping. Nothing against golfing and shopping, by the way. It has its place. But it's just that we don't want to be in touch sometimes with the more serious issues to consider, such as where is the reverence in my heart, or is it there at all? And other things such as you just mentioned. It appears that there's, with all the, you know, the church-approved warnings that our Blessed Mother has given from Fatima to today, and there are several that are very prominent, and they're very serious warnings.
Indeed.
I mean, the Akita warning in Japan of fire falling from the sky to the Rwandan warning and then the genocide that took place 12 years later. And all of these pieces that the church has thoroughly approved, we've seen miracles from and so forth. When we look at those in light of a 9-month novena, the times that we're in, are you okay to address the consequences or ramifications if we don't respond? Is there anything you'd like to say about, just to the audience and myself included, what if we don't take this seriously? We don't come back to our mother and we don't grow in the reverence and stop with so much golfing and shopping, make those pilgrimages, deepen that relationship. Where do you think we find ourselves then?
Then we're lost. We're not following Christ. We've walked away from Christ, who's calling us, especially in these times, to carry the cross with him. There's tremendous suffering today, but it will become even greater if we don't, each one of us, in the way that we can, and we all can do something. First of all, we all pray that, and also we all can all address the situation of our personal life with the graces that come to us from our Lord, from his Sacred Heart, through the Immaculate Heart of our Mother, our Lady. We bear a tremendous responsibility. We can't be superficial. We can't be insincere, pretending like, we'll just do whatever we want and God will take care of the rest. No, we have to do, yes, God, ultimately, we're in the hands of God, but he's counting upon us to be with him every moment of the day and night in our hearts and doing what we can through prayer. And it's not something grim. It's not going around with a grim face. No, right. when we're living our faith, our Catholic faith, sincerely, we're joyful.
Right.
Somebody like St. Philip Neri, for instance, or G.K. Chesterton, that wonderful sense of humor. And yep. I found holy people have a good sense of humor because they're close to God and they don't have this despair or this sense that, right. And they trust that, yes, things are really tough, but our Lord is with us. And as long as that be the case, we can be joyful even in the midst of suffering.
Yeah. And I think uniting like this is powerful as well. And if people are watching this and listening to this right now, take it as a call right now that, you know, again, just put in your name, put in your email, and you're going to get spiritual direction, spiritual strength training from Cardinal Burke. And we're going to pray together, united. And there's a strength in that. Again, that Battle of Lepanto, you know, they gathered the remnant forces. That's what we're doing. Do you want to be counted as one of the remnant forces that is uniting together in this critical moment in history? But I want to hearken what you just said. It's not grim. And anybody that's been in my pew probably in the last 4 or 5 weeks knows I've been preaching the exact same thing. You know, it's Lent and discipline and all that. I had a school mass with the kids, and I just looked out of them from the pulpit, and I said, you know, you guys – just keep being joyful, playful, celebrate life. You know, in fact, Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. But you think of a child, they're not yet impacted by the world, you know, or influenced. They're free to be at peace, and they don't feel threatened at that age. There's mom, there's dad, I'm okay. Let's go out and play. And I think we need to encourage that in these times as well, because people are disheartened. People are getting depressed. People are fearful during this time. And this is a time for us to unite, okay, in the light of Christ, okay? He's the light. He's not the darkness. And he's love, you know, that divine love that comes through us. And Our Lady is trying to pull us to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to receive that divine life, and then to go out and spread that light to the world. Don't you think, Cardinal, you know, I've been asking for not just a revival in the land, a supernatural revival in the land, a belief once again in the supernatural power of God, because one of the things I noticed, like in the last 4 or 5 years that we've gone through, is that those who are plugged in, as I like to call it, to the power of grace, you know, they went to confession and they believe in grace and they're open to receiving it, is they're the most tuned in. So they're not only up onto what God is doing, but they're onto what the devil's up to as well. It's been amazing as I look back. You want to comment on that, Cardinal?
No, I always use the example of the contemplative sisters that I know when I visit their monasteries. They're more acutely aware of the needs of the world than the people who are living in the world. And right. Why is that? Because they're so united to Christ and his love for the world. Yes. Mother Mary Frances, the great poor Clare nun, she used to say that the walls of the enclosure embrace the whole world. And yep. The sisters are in the enclosure, but they're embracing the whole world. And so too, I know, for instance, people who are in great suffering. They can't go out, they can't meet others and so forth, but they're joyfully offering their sufferings for those who are in need. And I want to say, too, that you've made a very important point. The worst thing for us in times like this is to isolate ourselves, right. To think that we're alone. Right. And when we think that we're alone, that is, when we're not united with one another in trying to lead a good and holy life, then we isolate from Christ himself, because Christ comes to us also in our communion with one another. And so I encourage very much community in the parishes, in neighborhoods and so forth, to pray together and to encourage one another in the Christian life and in dealing with the situations today. And this is most helpful and edifying. And oftentimes there can be a person who either has lost his direction or has become discouraged. But if he just sees the simple witness of someone who's yep. who's leading a good Christian life and striving his best or her best, this can be transformative. This can be a tremendous help. And we ought to always be very conscious of our brothers and sisters in the communion of saints, and to be attentive to help one another, to bear one another's burdens, as the scripture says, and in that way to be in Christ as we want to be.
What, Your Eminence, what specifically throughout these 9 months are people going to be asked to do on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, first of all, the official prayer, but then connected with that, to deepen their own faith life, their own life in the church, in accord with the apparitions and messages, a message of Our Lady of Guadalupe in 1531, to develop strongly in the conviction that Christ alone is our salvation, that in him alone do we find that light about which Father Heilmann was talking, do we find salvation, and therefore to want to draw closer to him in every way. And I'll be suggesting readings for those who are taking part in the novena. So it's a combination of prayer and reflection, and then action, putting into practice what we experience, we know when we're in communion with our Lord in prayer and devotion, and of course, most of all, in sacred worship, especially the Holy Eucharist and Sacrament of Penance.
And would the Rosary be a key part of this as well, then?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. In the apparitions at Tepeyac, for instance, in both Fatima and Lourdes, Our Lady emphasizes very much the praying of the Rosary. And we can say this is a further development of Our Lady's message. At Tepeyac, it's a message of the redemptive incarnation. Our Lady appears pregnant with our Lord and comes, as she says, she wants a chapel built, a place of pilgrimage in which she can show our Lord to all her children. How does she do that? We see then in the prayer, powerful prayer of the Rosary, meditating on the mysteries, the divine mysteries of the life of our Lord and of our Blessed Mother. This is one of the most efficacious ways of praying and of calling down into our lives the grace of God. And so the Rosary, if possible, every day will be a key part of this program. Mm.
Excellent.
Cardinal, we're talking about uniting in the strength and that, and then the strength and power of supernatural grace and all that. And we need to get strong and in the teachings of the church and all that. We need to get strong. What's going on right now, and I'd like your take on this, is I think a lot of people, we talk about the people are hopeless, they're doubting, all this stuff. But what about fear? And where am I going with that? And the readings recently have been talking about this, the fear of our oppressors, I'll put it that way. But we, when we want to demonstrate, put that light from under, out from under a bushel basket and put on a light lampstand, we become a threat, don't we, Cardinal? And the attacks come. And I think in the present historical moment, there's not a lot of support. I think a lot of people, whether it's your neighbor or your superior or whatever, it just seems like the attackers are winning the day, because they'll attack and then they'll be placated or supported during this. I don't know. It just seems like it's particularly challenging during this time to let your light be in a lampstand. And yet I think what we're about to do is the answer to that, is unite, to become stronger together. Doug said, I always say shopping and golfing, because that's what it is. I mean, somebody's getting attacked and the rest are out shopping and golfing, or like at the cross, our Lord is crucified and only three stayed, you know? Cardinal, what's going on there?
The devil can't stand the light.
But he can't stand sacred.
No.
The attacks if a priest starts going that way.
No, exactly. The devil is the arch bully. You know, he comes around and intimidates people so that they're fearful to stand up
right for
what they know that's right. They're afraid they'll lose friends. They're afraid they won't be invited again, as they say. Or they all these very human kinds of fears. Whereas we ought to trust that by being faithful to our Lord and by being his faithful follower, he's going to bless us in every way.
Yes,
yes, there are going to be people who won't like us. And maybe some people won't talk to us anymore or whatever else.
Right.
But we're in this life for eternal life. And I can tell you this, and this has happened. I've lived long enough now that sometimes years later, after something that happened where I had to speak the truth to someone about the moral life or whatever, and they walked away, and even in a very dramatic way, very hostile way, years later, I've received a communication from them saying, I want you to know that I understand now that you were right, and I found my way. And that's God's grace. That's not me. I was his instrument at that moment to say something to them, which at the moment they couldn't accept.
Right.
But in time, they will come to understand the truth always is victorious in the end. And we
yes.
ought to be confident of that. And lies are always defeat. They always defeat us, and they drag us down. And we can't live that way. And lies create confusion, and confusion is the work of the devil. And so we need to have this sense of how good God made us, put right order into the world and into our hearts, and try to respect in every way we can that order, cooperate with it for his glory and for salvation of souls.
I'd like to ask you something. they kind of, I've run into this a lot with several people. The times, the challenges, the talk of chastisement, and those who see God, I'm talking good, faithful Catholics, who see God more as judge and almost more as a, you know, holding the ruler in the hand and about to really let us have it. Now, maybe there's some aspect in there, but you know, that's true in some respect. And I'm not trying to, you know, give my own personal judgment. Can you speak though about the heart of a loving father, the heart of a loving mother? Because I think a lot of people out there, I know I've run into this and I've experienced it even myself, you know, at, you know, 59 years old now, Catholic my whole life, that aspect of God's deep, unbelievable love, and not just in the sense of chastisement, which I know is necessary at times to, you know, I've disciplined my own kids when they, you know, were here. It's hard to discipline them now. They're all adults and they moved out. But, you know, when it comes to trying to show love to them when I'm raising them, there is an aspect, and even with my grandchildren, there's an aspect of proper, you know, good discipline. But can you speak about the heart of the Father, the heart of our Blessed Mother, and the depth of that kind of love? Because that's ultimately what I think we're all craving, and we're just kind of all over the board because we've been so poorly taught when it comes to some of these things.
Yes, I think in that respect, the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is, and I've had this experience since I was a child, and I tried as a bishop to, as priest and bishop to introduce it. Our God is not a God who's distant from us. This is true in Islam, for instance. It's true in other pagan forms of religion. God is some distant figure, and he looks for the opportunity to punish man. No, our God is a God of love. He wants us to be everything that he has created us to be. And for that reason, he is a judge in this sense, that he judges us through our conscience when we are less than we're called to be. But it's not out of a desire to destroy us or to punish us, but it's out of his great love for us. He wants us to be everything that he created us to be. And so and he is a father in that sense. We call God our Father, and that's not some kind of indifferent title. It's his real father's paternity, that he, having created us, he leads us and directs us and guides us to be in his image and likeness as he has created us to be. And in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, I mean, we contemplate the heart of God, the Son made man, died on the cross, and then permitted the Roman soldier's spear to pierce his heart, and this water and blood comes out. What does it say to us but the immeasurable and unceasing love of God for us, his desire, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, God is always coming, wanting to draw us back to him. But if that's going to happen, we have to turn to him. We have to convert. We have to admit our sins. But that isn't demeaning. In fact, to admit sin is very ennobling, because it's a statement that this is not who I am. Right. And I've in some way failed to be who I should be. There was an English poet by Francis Thompson. One of my favorite poems is The Hound of Heaven. And he likens God to a hound. And he says that he was fleeing God down all the various ways, trying to get away from God. But God was like the hound, which was constantly on his heels, coming to find him. And it's an image, but it speaks to this. Even as the father of a family will do anything, including even sacrificing his own life for his children, that's how what God does for us. Yeah. And so we had to be very attentive not to adapt these pagan or non-Christian ideas about God that have completely been corrected by the incarnation of God the Son.
Your Eminence, I think I'm going to mention it earlier, but if I didn't, I'm the plan that I'm going to have, because this is the Grace Wars podcast, And we have people that are enlisted in what's called the U.S. Grace Force. And actually, the motto is per virtutem pax, peace through strength. But it's uniting together for prayer campaigns such as this, and also spiritual strength training. It's akin to the military, but we're doing spiritual warfare in the best way we possibly can. I'm saying all that just to say that one of the campaigns that we do is what it's called Novena for Our Nation, August 15th to October 7th every year. I want to put that this year. I want to put all our eggs in the basket of what you're doing for 9 months. I think this is a critical year. The election, for one thing. Yeah. It's just, it's unbelievable. And war is springing up. And the enemy is desperate. I don't know. Maybe you could talk about that right now. Your Eminence, my theory, and you know, right or wrong, is that the 100 years concluded. And one of the things I leaned into was Father Regis Scanlon said that to conclude, it has to be 2018. And then he said, but there was a year of mercy, that makes it 2019. Well, that puts it right at when we had a pagan idol, we had the breakout from the Wuhan lab. And that was also at that moment that Our Lady appeared to Sister Agnes Sasagawa and said, put on ashes and pray a repentant rosary. That was, if you go with the theory that I'm going, that was right at the conclusion of the 100 years. So we were weakened over 100 years. Now it appears like the Ottoman Turks, they're rolling in right now. And but I see us then attacking each other. And one of the things I've been saying, Cardinal, is that a lot of people have heard me say it over and over again, but I follow the Cardinal Burke model. And I'm really grateful for your approach. But I've never seen you use calumny or detraction, for one thing.
Well, we can.
And it seems like it's replete, especially on social media, that individual names are attacked for this reason and that. And isn't that something that we need to be pray for right now, Cardinal?
Yes, we can't resort. I understand people get frustrated or they get very, but we cannot resort to sinful activities like calumny or detraction, ad hominem attacks on individuals and so forth. We're preaching Christ, and Christ puts everything in order, and he corrects everything, and we teach the truth, and to teach the truth, you don't need to attack in a vicious way individuals and so forth, but simply to put out that truth that dispels darkness and shows people what the right direction is. And this is a tragedy of our time, that even very people who are very good, they lose their way, and then they engage in this kind of attack on individuals and a lack of charity. And there's never teaching the truth calls for ever greater charity. It never justifies any lack of charity. And so I'm glad that you mentioned that. And,
it's actually what we do on this Grace Force podcast is we will not name names like that and go after.
No. Yeah. It's not our way.
Right. And it's because of you, Cardinal, because you've shown us that you can question things, you have doubts, dubia, you know, things like that, but all do it all in charity, don't attack anybody, and that kind of thing. So
exactly. Right?
Yeah, thank you for
we
that.
We have to be courageous in speaking the truth, and but that doesn't mean that we attack in an uncharitable way someone who opposes us.
So I just have another question I'd like to ask. In your opinion, with the climate that we find ourselves in, 9 month novena, which is this an unprecedented type of novena? Like, I've never heard 9 months. And
I don't think I have either, Cardinal.
Yeah, this seems pretty big.
I have to say, I don't know of any precedent either. I'm not saying that there isn't, but
it's genius.
I just came to me that this critical period.
Critical.
That we need to get this kind of a powerful prayer Yep. And I'm confident that through Our Lady's intercession, that great graces are going to come to us. And,
yeah. Amen.
Well, and that's kind of where I was going with the question was, in your, with everything going on and this degree of prayer and novena, and we want as many people as possible to share this. Again, the link's in the description below. People take that link, share it with others, share this podcast or any other way to get this word out. However, and this is my question, when I was doing some preparation for this, I was looking at other reports. Fox News Digital, in fact, I think contacted you, or there were some statements from you found there even, you know, National Catholic Register and so forth. Great statements and made that have been made out there. What simple message would you give to the audience to kind of wrap up this idea that the hope that we must cling to in these times as we see things continue to escalate and seemingly ramp up, so that we don't lose that position that we're supposed to have as Christians. I think we talk about having a sense of humor, you know, even in the most critical times. I think St. Lawrence, who we all know the story, strung out over the fire and said, I'm done on this side. Now, I don't know, Cardinal, if you're familiar with what Jesus said to Lawrence when Lawrence, after dying over the fire, stood before our Lord at the gates. Jesus said, well done, my good and faithful servant. I had to get that in there. I hope you don't mind.
Oh, no, that's...
But what disposition? Yeah, go ahead.
The simple message is return to Our Lady and find Christ. This is a simple message.
Nice.
Through the rosary, through prayer, especially through the Holy Eucharist, and through so many other, for instance, your Grace Force. There are many other wonderful initiatives of prayer and so forth. All of these should be highlighted and increased to win for us the graces that we need in these tumultuous times.
Right. Cardinal, that's a wonderful way to end it. Could you please give us your blessing?
Indeed, and thank you so much. It's been a wonderful...
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Welcome.